Romans chapter 6. That's where we'll be today. Romans chapter 6. And when you found your place, you can go ahead and stand, just out of respect for God's word. And we'll start reading there in verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Can you already see the kind of theme for the message? It's the 4th of July weekend where we declared our independence, our freedom. And then here we are talking about our freedom from sin and from death. I kind of hope that kind of sticks out to you. Let's keep reading there in verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? We'll just read these next two verses. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I'd like to talk to you today about our freedom from sin, our liberty from sin. The Declaration of Independence. It's a document that birthed our nation. I don't know if you know, but that's why we kind of celebrated the 4th of July. Maybe you thought it was just the fireworks and, you know, that's just the day that everyone shot off fireworks. Well, no, it's because we signed the Declaration of Independence on that day. It's much more important, but the fireworks are pretty cool, yes. It was a statement from the original 13 colonies of America that stated, we're not going to serve England anymore. We've been colonies of England, and this king has abused us. He's not served us well. He's taken our rights. He's taxed us. He's hurt us. He has attacked us. We're not serving him. He's a bad king. He's a wicked master, and we are independent from him. I would like to read for you the first couple paragraphs of the Declaration of Independence. So just listen to this. This is powerful. They start out by saying this: when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of earth separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. So all they're saying is, when one authority has been abusing a people, it's their right and their duty to either change the authority or abolish the authority. And as a decency to other people, we ought to state why we are declaring our independence from the authority who's been abusing us. So then they go on to say this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I'm glad that our nation's founded on that principle. That's what separates America from other nations, is that all men are created equal in the eyes of God. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it's the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So let me put it in a nutshell, because it's beautiful. I love that people wrote like that. That's wonderful to read. But man, it's hard to understand sometimes. So what they're saying is, look, these people have abused us, and we're abolishing our connection to them, and we are instituting a new government. We're not serving the old government, who has not treated us well. We are now instituting our new government, and it is to this new government that we will serve. This new government that we will subject ourselves to. And I really believe that in a lot of ways, this Declaration of Independence, one of the foundational documents in American history, the document that birthed our nation, in a lot of ways, this is like our Declaration of Independence from another master, from sin. So I would like to talk to you about this particular idea. We put off the old man. We stop serving the old master, sin. And we do good works because we are free from sin. Our freedom has been bought by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And because of that, we don't have to serve the old master, who we didn't get anything good from this old master. This old master was cruel. This old master was wicked. All we got from this old master was heartache and death. But because our freedom has been bought by Jesus Christ, we're free to serve him. And so we're no longer serving the old master. We're no longer sinning. We're striving to serve this new master by doing our good works, putting on the new man and putting off the old man. So let's get into this idea here for a moment. Look back with me there at verse number 6. Romans 6, 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So what is the old man? The old man that we're putting off that has been crucified with Christ. You don't have to turn there, but you can if you would like. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll look at verses 8 and 9. It says, but now ye also put off all of these. Now listen to this list. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your lip, out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So all of these sins, anger, which is your immediate reaction to something, you react in anger. Wrath, which is when you dwell in that anger and you hold it in and you're fuming. That's kind of the idea that the word wrath has, is that you're fuming, you're furious. Malice, which is acting intentionally with hatred towards somebody. All of these sins, blasphemy, filthy communication, in lying, they've already been defeated. We talked about that. These old works, this old man, it was defeated by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. The penalty for these sins was paid. It was paid with the blood of Christ. And Christ took the wrath for all sins and for all time. That henceforth, if you look back in Romans 6, 6, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. As Christians, our old man is dead. He's gone. He died when Jesus defeated him on Calvary. It's like when we're lost, when we have not been born again, made new to follow Christ. It's like we're carrying around a dead corpse. And we're saying, you know, whatever this corpse says I have to do,
We know it's dead. We know this corpse isn't doing anything for us, but we're carrying him around. And we refuse to let him go. But when we're saved, we let go of the dead corpse. We're no longer serving this dead man, which is sin. We're not serving sin anymore, and we cling to Christ, who is, as it says in John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, if you keep looking in Romans 6:6, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So our old man has died with Christ, and our new man is made alive with Christ. He is both the Jesus Christ is the instrument to free us from our old master and to lead us to our new master, because he is our new master. It's both in Christ. He accomplished both things, to free us and to give us a new master, a good master who loves us, who would love us enough to die for us, to free us. If you keep looking, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, and death hath no more dominion over him. Christ, death has no dominion over Christ. Death has no more, death did not have victory over Christ, because Christ defeated death. When they declared their independence from Britain, and they fought the American Revolution, and the Americans won, the English had no more dominion over us, because we had defeated them. Death has no dominion over Christ, because Christ defeated death. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. If our sin is dead to us, if the old man is dead to us, it has no more dominion over us, because we're alive to our new master, to Christ. Because we're free from the dominion of sin and death, we no longer serve them. Look there in verse 12, Romans 6:12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. When the British were really trying to control the colonies, this was before the Declaration, and before the War for Independence, the British were really trying to control the Americans. And they started doing a couple different things. They started quartering the British soldiers in the homes of the colonists. And so an American family would have to take in some soldiers, and they would have to house them against their will. They also began levying different taxes towards the colonists. The tea tax, which led to the Boston Tea Party. You have the stamp tax and the coercive acts, which revoked Massachusetts' status as a colony. They said, okay, you're no longer a colony. You don't have the rights of a colony. You're just property to England. And they blockaded their ports so that Massachusetts couldn't get vital shipments. So let me ask you a question. After the Americans fought the war for independence, and after they won, wouldn't it have been strange if they kept doing these things? Wouldn't it have been strange if they fought the British and they won, and then the British army was still here, and they said, hey, why don't y'all come stay at our house? No, they're a foreign enemy. They're not going to go stay at your house. You don't want them to stay at your house. They want to kill you. They're your enemy, because they had won. What if after they had won the war and the Americans still decided to pay taxes to England? Why would they let a foreign country tax them on their goods? They wouldn't do that. That's why they fought for their independence. What if after the war had been won, they still allowed they still allowed the British ships to blockade the ports in Massachusetts so that their vital shipments could not get into Massachusetts. They wouldn't do that. They would do something to remove the blockade because that's a foreign country. They don't serve that country anymore. So then let me ask you a question. For us who have been born again, who believe in Christ, who have accepted his payment for our sins on the cross, why would we live to serve our old master who Christ defeated, who we're free from? Why would we serve him? Why would we do the list that we read in Colossians? Why would we respond to others in anger? When you're driving, that always brings the best out in people. When you're driving and someone cuts you off because they're on a motorcycle and they're more important than you, and I talked to someone about this yesterday, all you really want to do is go like that and bump them. And then they're not going to cut you off anymore. That's anger. Wait a minute, that's serving the old master. Why would we respond that way? When someone does something that irritates you, why would you respond in anger serving the old master, not the new master who you've been freed to serve? Why would you dwell in wrath and bitterness towards somebody? Listen, bitterness only hurts you. It is, and I understand people can do awful, terrible things to hurt you. But when you lift yourself up in your pride and you say, I will not forgive that person. They owe me something because of how they hurt me. That pride turns into bitterness and wrath because you're dwelling on it. It's festering. Why would you respond that way? Because all that does is serve the old man, the flesh, the fallen nature. When you've been freed from that, you don't have to respond that way. Your new master wants you to forgive, wants you to be humble, wants you to be meek, wants you to suffer transgression. What does Proverbs say? It says it's the glory of a man to pass over a transgression. That's how your new master wants you to respond. Why would you serve the old master? Why would you act in malice? Why would you act in a hateful way towards somebody? Why would you blaspheme and say, I'm doing this to serve God, when really, you're doing it to serve yourself? Why would you lie? Why would you speak filthy communications? Why would you talk about things that are not right for Christians to talk about? They're not funny. Things that are not funny to God should not be jokes that we make. You know, there are different abominations out in our society today, out in our culture today, and they're filthy communications. That should not come out of our lips, because what's not funny to God is not funny to us, because He's our master. The abominations, they please, and those jokes, maybe they're funny to the old master, but our master has different priorities. Because we've been freed from the old master. We don't serve him anymore. We've been set free from sin and from death. So let's live every day like we have a new master. Like we don't have to serve the old master. Did we get anything from the old master? Did he do anything good for you? Think about it. Before you were saved, I was saved when I was 8 years old. And so you might say, well, an 8-year-old probably didn't do too many bad things. You know, I hadn't had time to murder anybody because I was too busy in whatever my mom made me do. I don't remember. I was 8. You know, you might think, you know, an 8-year-old hasn't had time to swear too much or to drink or to do drugs or to hurt too many people. An 8-year-old, they're not that bad. The thing was, sin nature is sin nature. And the old master is the old master. And I was still in bondage to sin. I was still serving the old master. and I didn't get a single thing from it because I was condemned to death and to hell. And that's why I would sin. But when I was 8 years old and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I said, Lord, I can't pay the penalty for my sin. If I were to pay it, I would die and go to hell. I would spend an eternity in hell. And I accepted Christ's sacrifice on the cross for me. When I accepted that, I was freed from the old sin, because from the old master, because Christ has already defeated him. And now I'm alive to serve my new master. So think about it. Before you were saved, I don't want anyone to testify, because we don't have time for that, probably. But think about it. Before you were saved, did you get anything from your old master, from sin, from the flesh, from the old man? You didn't get a single thing from him. The only thing you got from him was condemnation to death and hell. So then why would you, as a regenerated, newborn believer, still do things to serve your old master who does not love you? We've been freed to serve Christ. So as Christians, let's live like we are free from sin to serve Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, who loved us and died for us. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure whether you would go to heaven. Maybe you're here today and you realize, I'm still in bondage to the old master. I'm still serving the old master. Maybe you're here today and you know, when I die, I'm going to go to hell. You need to know the truths that the Bible holds to be self-evident. So let me tell you what the Bible says about that. The Bible says that all men are sinners. Every person in here, you can look around, every single one of them has sinned. The Bible says that, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Those are two different verses in Romans. And it says, we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. So what's the punishment for our sin? The punishment is death. Romans 6:23, the first part says, for the wages of sin is death. What you earn for your sin, what you earn for your service to the old master, is death. But Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. The rest of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. 1 John 2, verse 2, and he is the propitiation, he is the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You need to know this last truth, that if you will ask Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, he will save you. And you can be freed from the old master to serve the new master, to walk in newness of life, and not to have to fear death and condemnation in hell, but to look forward to life in heaven in the presence of God. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13. For whosoever, anybody, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.